on Revelation chapter 3 here. As I mentioned, I would last time finish up. And I think this is important, or, you know, I've actually got some ideas for next time I may be able to, given the privilege. I call it a privilege. You know, anytime you do for the Lord, it's a privilege. It's nice to have a privilege to be able to open up the Word of God and do something. And I know that for me, I probably stumble on some things and talk a little fast and all stuff, but I still appreciate that the Lord gives me an opportunity to do whatever I can do. And I hope you understand that when the Lord gives you something to do, whether it be witnessing or helping someone out or encouraging someone, it's really our privilege. It's our duty. People don't realize that it's our Christian duty to do things. I mean, our rewards and glory, it's our duty. And MacArthur, you know, I don't know if he was saved or not. He might have been. But he preached, it's your duty. If you know what your duty is spiritually, it should be an easy thing to do. So anyways, getting to this Revelation 3. The reason why I've been on it for a few weeks is because it's in season. The Bible says, preach the word, be instant in season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. Right now, we're in this Laodicea age. And obviously, it's pretty clear on many of the churches, but it's Bible believers in the Laodicean times. And look at some of these characteristics. We can be affected about some of these things. Sometimes we don't even realize it's like, oh boy, I'm being affected. So we try to guard ourselves against it. So just to give you a little recap, if you interest, look at all the cities of in the seven churches in Revelation here. Each city, the way God designed it, how no one wrote this book, man could. Each city described characteristics of the city, affected the characteristics of the people there. And that's how everyone was. If you have a great amount of time, study church history. Phenomenal. There's a man that was converted from Hiles Church. I forgot what his name is. I became a Bible believer. He read many books, and he taught church history. He spent 30 weeks just on those books of Revelation. And I'll think of his name in a minute here, but he's very good on the history. But just look at this Laodicea. Let's just do a real quick recap here. The Laodicea back in the Bible day was a textile industry. And what do? They specialize in black sheep and designer fabric. They were big in medical for eye salve, you know. They promoted that all over the area. They were at a major crossroads location, and that gave them a lot of prosperity and a lot of affluence. Very wealthy people. Those were I covered last time about the areas I'm in. Being affluent, there's cash flow there. They would not take help when they had troubles. And that was kind of a prideful thing. We don't need help from outsides because look who we are. We're prideful there. They had many social benefits, worldly pleasures, luxury and entertainment. That's like what that selfishness. And then their water system, you mentioned it, they didn't even realize, and what I use is ignorance, they didn't realize that. You go to the bathroom here, there's cold water and hot water, right? I mean, both have purpose. They just had their water come to them, it was lukewarm, even realize they're ignorant of poor conditions. That was just the conditions of the city back then. And you know what, though? Those cities or those conditions are very similar to where we are today. Amen? I mean, you look at this fashion industry, and you know what the fashion, especially the high-end industry, you know what's controlled by? Sodomites. You understand that? I remember we prayed for a guy, Pastor Mulvane here. He did a study on clothing. I go, clothing? What, you know, the clothing industry, I go, what kind is that? But I learned, he went from where it started and where it is today. And it's just the high-end fashion industry is just controlled by queers, pretty much. I mean, making T-shirts, I mean, that's just the way the industry, and it was a eye-opener, like it kind of back in those days. They were producing black designer, you know, sheep clothing, high-end. See, nothing ever really changes. Kind of the same situation back there. Matter of fact, I get a magazine called Gentleman's Quarterly. I don't buy it. It comes to my house. I don't know who it is. But in my day, when you get GQ, it was men dressed up in business suits and real mice. And now it's just a bunch of, I bought it here one time, a bunch of queer people, and they're wearing clothes like clown clothes with furry pants. I'm like, I don't be caught dead in that. I found like, I mean, that shows you look at the type of where we are today, how it's, we're in the last age, latest age. Look at the medical industry. The medical industry has kind of gone away of natural and cures and homeopathics to the pharmaceutical company running things. And I'm not against pharmacy, but it's everything is it's a drug, a drug, a drug. Fauci time, right? So you can see even then in the physician, that it seems like the nurses know more than the doctors because they have the compassion, right? The doctors, and most of the physicians, they train them, are evolutionists. I had my green-growing toenail, and I couldn't get it out, so I went to the doctor. And he goes, well, I can remove your whole toe because we don't need our nails anymore. We're monkeys. Talking about being monkeys, evolution. I thought he was kidding me at first. I go, what? Yeah, we were monkeys climbing trees. He's just telling me that. I'm like, I thought I was ready to laugh. I'm like, he's serious. And I went back there and got on my evolution track. I go, that's what they're taught in the school. We evolved. Never any bread about fearfully and wonderfully made. That's the industry we're in today. You can see what's happening here with the medical, kind of like what's back in the age of the Philadelphia. Look at the crossroads, real estate location. I mean, in my area, I have a guy in my office, Bill, I think you guys know him. He has a real estate stuff, and he's taking a young couple out to show them properties. You can't find anything in my area under 350. It's a shack. Some places can't even affordable. That's just because of location. That's just, you know, buying real estate. I mean, I bought my first home for $45. I assumed the mortgage back in the day. I got that time for a store. I went to a no money down seminar back in the 80s. Robert G. Allen paid $100 for a seminar, and I bought my first home for $45. My buddy put $4. Bought it, assumed the guy's mortgage. You can't do that today. I mean, so I got into a property for 90. I mean, I didn't have a job. I don't think I was in between jobs. I bought a home. So it's just crazy. But showing you how the real estate is just a complete boom. Like it was back there in the Laodicea age, mentioned about wealthy. Most folks today, in some areas, the money clogs their eyes from seeing truth. It says in Luke 18:25, "For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." I read you last time the areas in our country, and the more affluent places they are, the less they are with the gospel. I just see that from Naperville over to Wilmington. Just 30 miles where they'll mock you with the track here open, just because of the area. So being when you're in a affluent area, they seem to have stuff, the gospel, like we are today. This Laodicea church, just like times are today. Very, very similar. We look at worldly things here. If you can't see your personal need of a savior, that's that pride issue. The first aspect of someone even trusting the Lord or have any need is getting rid of their pride. It says in Psalm 10:4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. That's what pride does. Pride kind of goes against, and people that are affluent, think they have a lot of things, it's their pride. I got wealthy clients, and what happens about the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, look what I have done, right? And it clods them from seeing truth, just like it was in Laodicea, just like it is in our area here today. We have social benefits, keeping busy for the wrong reasons, social programs. A lot of people keep busy, and being busy is fine, but for the wrong social benefits. You know, even some charities or worldly charities, you know, all, you know, doing pleasurable things. That's what they had back in Laodicea. They had worldly pleasures and theaters, same thing. They're being occupied. And a lot of times being occupied is just keep your mind occupied with the wrong thing so you can't hear the Lord. That's why a lot of places always have music on or TV on. They're blocking their mind from actually hearing the Lord. That's like in the city, noise, and they're blocking their mind. That's exactly what's going on today. It's always some TV on, music on, this on, and they're clowning. Because why? When you're quiet, you can think. Hey, I worked for a period of time back. It was on the corporate day for Bose Corporation. You heard of Bose Corporation? They're in Framingham, Massachusetts. And they had a room called the Ear Detonating Room. This is a true story. And when you open the room up, the door is 14 feet deep of cushion. And you close the cushion, and you sit in the room, and it's dead quiet. Let me tell you something. It's scary. Honestly, it's creepy. I mean, can you mind? It's pure quietness. You ever been to a cave, turn lights off? It's pure blackness. And you can literally hear your heart pounding. So we can't hear it with all the noise. It was called the ear deafening room. And what though? People hate that. You know why? Because your conscience, how about that? Hey, man, how about that? How, even I'm like, hey, man, this is, I mean, it's surely, surely quiet. I never forgot that. Lord, show me that thing. Man, this is a good illustration. And I'm like, oh, man. I mean, some people can actually hear their vein, blood running through their vein. I haven't done that because I was only there for a few minutes, but it's definitely, that's why there's noise there. So you can avoid hearing the Lord because he's always trying to get your heart a little bit, you know. We have this luxury and entertainment going on today. Hey, look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. The first thing, what it was? It was Eve. Look, you can be like. That's selfishness. We want to be like God. And now that's the time that we are on, Laodicea on steroids. Now, I can't, if I went to North Korea or China, this would not make mess because that's not the norm. We've got a ton of churches around here, you know, and we're in a church environment. And then we're ignorant. That water system, they didn't even realize that warm water wasn't good. We have just a tremendous amount of ignorance. It says here in 1 Corinthians 14, 38, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. They don't even know. I would call that, now I'm getting to what this means for the church people today, the Bible believers. That means they're unconscious, incompetent. Unconscious incompetent. You don't even realize that you got a problem. That's the worst spot to be in, you know. If you're now a conscious incompetent, you've graduated. You just realize you got a problem. But if you don't even realize you have a problem, you're in trouble. You realize that. You're unconscious incompetent. That is absolutely bad. That's ignorant. That's what these people were here. You see, that's going on on steroids. So that's the environment of the Laodicea church in the day. That age is on us right now, the last age before we're out of here. You can see it right around in our environment. How does that affect now believers today? And this is interesting here, so I'm going to get to here. Look at this here. In verse 14, it says, and unto the angel of the church of Laodicea I write these things, say the amen, the faithful and true witness. So there's some believers in there. And the beginning of creation of God. And he goes through things I just covered here, cold and hot and the characteristics. But here's the key part right here. In verse 17, right in the middle, it says, because thou sayest I am rich, increased with goods, and have need nothing, and here it is, and knoweth not that thou art. So they don't even realize, and then he gives you these five, so they don't even realize, we can be unconsciously incompetent. And he mentions five things, which I'm going to go through right now. He mentions five things for these people today, and these are Bible believers. Let me back up a little bit here. I'm still with the Gideons. I'm on our list. I got this in the mail the other day. DuPage South. That's the county I'm in, DuPage South. DuPage County is the wealthiest county in the country. We're DuPage South. And they pray for all these churches. And if you're a Bible believer and understand these things, you probably wouldn't go to, these are churches. You probably wouldn't go to anyone. They're charismatic churches. They're community churches, Crossroads. They're Lutheran churches. They're baptizing babies. I'm sure there's rock and roll going on here. They don't have any Bible doctrine. I mean, there's two churches here that are okay. A Belmont Bible Church, they're okay. I'd attend there maybe, and then when my daughter goes, Woodridge, only one Baptist church. I at least believe the book there. They're pretty solid, you know. My brother goes there, you know. But we understand that they're the bad teaching of churches. We get that. I mean, that's why we go to an independent, Bible-believing, King James. We know we have. There's a reason why we're here, because we believe in some real important traits that are important to us, and we probably couldn't sit in a Calvinistic church or an Assembly of God church or a Lutheran church. We understand all that, but we're still in this latest seated movement, Bible believers, so we have to be careful. That's why I'm going to this message. So look at the first one here. Wretched. Remember, the key thing here is, and know it not, thou art. First one is wretched. It says in Romans 7:24, this is Paul speaking, oh, wretched man that I am. Now, exclamation mark, who shall deliver me from the body, of this death? He realized that he was just a wretched person. Paul, a great man of God, wrote books of the Bible here. I think 13 books he wrote, whatever. But you know what, though? It says people don't even realize this. They don't even realize their position. That's why I read that hymn this morning. Realize that we're just a bunch of, man, you're saved, hallelujah. They even forgot that. I mean, they didn't even realize that they were wretched, head of the roads of hell. I mean, if God saved you and you have a rough life, man, you're going to heaven. I mean, the Lord loved you and paid for you, and just dwelling on that. But they don't even realize their position. I think we saw a standing in state here the other day, remember? And they don't even realize their state. They're blinded of it. These are believers. Remember, these are into believers. That's what's calling them wretched. Don't even realize the spot they're in. That's, yeah. And as I go through some of these things, and if you're like me, I figure I'm like a lot of people. I've been here for a little time, some of these places, you know, amen? Just getting a little bit of a, you know, self-pity maybe, or a little bit of a ditch, whatever, you know, but you got to get out of it kind of quickly. You know, no one's just Superman Christian, here you go. I mean, God gives you trials so you can kind of go through them and get closer to the Lord and grow. But we have this Laodicea where they get a little trial, or because of this situation they're in, this Laodicea, they just fall into it and never get out of it. So there it is, wretched. So you can see that beside a lack of sound doctrine, that causes a lot of it. These churches I mentioned here, they're not getting the sound doctrine. I've covered sound doctrine. What is it? It's the perfect word of God, rightly divided. Sound doctrine, right? So we get that. That'll help you, because you understand the word of God. You'll see the mind of God by looking at his word, obviously, and you'll be stronger. But beside that, these are believers that fall into this. So the first one was wretched. Let's look at the next one here, miserable. 1 Corinthians 15:19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now, kind of a double negative. So what he's saying here, the world, if you live for the Lord and the Lord, the world looks at you, you must be miserable. But the opposite is true. You realize that? If you're walking with the Lord and have the joy of the Lord, the world goes, look at that guy. He's not doing things of the world. He's doing things of the Lord. They think that but the opposite is true. We're not. And so that word miserable is not having this hope. That's having hope. They don't have the hope. But remember, the word is not with the world, not having his hope in Christ. In other words, we become like the world, not understanding it. That's a terrible spot for a believer to be in. You get that? And that's why he calls them wretched and miserable. So the world, now you've come like the world. That's what the Laodicea church did. They're kind of this foreman of the world. And if you've been around for any long time, what happened is you take a position, and what happened is the world's coming closer and closer and closer and closer, and we kind of just, instead of moving away, we're kind of standing and we're getting closer to the world. I don't even know it. Not even realizing. Oh, yeah, we used to do that here, and now we do this here. And you kind of, all of a sudden, it's like a frog being boiled in the water slowly. So it's miserable, and it is wretched. The other word he uses here is poor. Now, this is all spiritually speaking. In Psalm 40:17, it says, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. So here it is where the Lord, someone who walked with the Lord and recognized their need and going to the Lord. Well, this is then the opposite, because the Lord's rebuking them for not having this. Land searchers did not recognize this, that they were lost track of the greatest example, the Lord Jesus Christ. They lost track of that. They didn't realize that they're poor spiritually. They just lost it. And we have that great verse in Corinthians 8:9 that was our example, grace. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that he might through his poverty be made rich. That's that being rich spiritually. Here they're poor spiritually. You could have all this stuff and be just completely poor miserably. That's just astounding. And that's what God's warning people in this Laodicea age. I go do anything. It's cold. It's always some way of getting into not serving the Lord and not looking at things spiritually and understanding what the Lord did for us. So that first hymn I mentioned about the Lord dying on a cross for you, what could we not do because of that? So that makes the believers wretched and miserable and poor. And then he says, use the word blind. In Isaiah 42:16, it says, and I will bring the blind by a way that they know not. I will lead them, it's a great promise, by the way, in the paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. That's a great promise of the Lord. But remember, they don't see that. He's saying here, and knowest not that thou art, and he's given this characteristic here. Very sad. 2 Peter 1:5-9 says, and beside this, giving all, now I'm giving about characters now, so pay attention here, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and the patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. See him? And cannot see afar off. You're having lack of those characters. You see that? You're blind. Those are characteristics of the believer, and they don't even know they have those things. Those are characteristics of a solid believer, understanding things, but yet they're blind, the Bible says. That's kind of sad. I mean, I'll be honest with you. When I first got saved, I thought someone was a believer. I just, in my new belief, you must be honest and true. I got cheated by some believers, a bunch of believers. If I had known some of that, I might have, I mean, I go, heck, I cheated me. He's a believer. You know what I'm saying? Y'all understand what I'm saying? And that's just unfortunate. I don't ever want to be like that. But, I mean, I've had some troubles with some believers. You know, you can be a Christian plumber and be a terrible plumber. I mean, you know, right? I mean, that's just the way it is, right? You know? So that's just the way it is. So here it is, no Christian character. Blinded. The list them right there. He says, you are blind and cannot see. You're spiritually blind. No character amongst the believers in the slate because of these conditions we have. And last one here, naked. Now, what's interesting about this word naked, the first mention of the word naked is found in Genesis 2:25. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. You know why? Because they're pure innocence. They didn't even know nothing. Imagine just being just pure innocence. You're innocent, and they were naked now, and now knowing sin, and we're pure innocent. And now in the last book of Scripture, we come almost to the last word of this word nakedness. And in 2 Corinthians, it's full circle. It's a complete full circle. 2 Corinthians 5:1-5. For we know that if our earthly house, now speaking of our body now, So things that are in our body here. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle will dissolve, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon the morality, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now, he that had wrought us to the self-shame thing is God, who also had given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. So the context here is our new bodies. I mean, think about it. As we get a little older, things start cranking, hair's falling out where you don't want to fall out, and growing where we want to grow. Amen? You know what I'm saying? It's just the way it is. We're not getting better, you know? And so we appreciate this new body, but these people here, believers, don't understand that. They're just taking their bodies and just doing things that they shouldn't do. Matter of fact, it says in 1 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which had done, whether it be good or bad. And the believer is abusing your body. That's like that drinking that putrid water. And I mean, there's a physical thing. There's still a physical thing here where the believers, because of our age we're in, are abusing their bodies. I don't want to be smoking or drinking or whatever it is. Hey, I had a friend of mine who did extermination. He's a believer. And so people would call him to do work. Pastors would call him. He goes, Tim, I went to the pastor's basement. There's a full bar there. I go, who is it? I'm not telling you. I'm going to tell him. I'm about to find out who it is. You know? I mean, he's just a full bar. I guarantee you, go to pastor's basement, you're not going to find a full bar there. Amen? I've been to his basement. I know. Okay? But I mean, would that be shocking, right? Amen? But that's what's happening today. In fact, at one of these churches here, my daughter was looking at a church. The elders took the new pastor out to lunch, and they wanted to serve him wine to see what he said, and they wanted him to drink wine because they're all boozers. It's a Christian church. It's shocking for us being independent, but that's what's going on, and they can't see it. You get that, folks? That's just one thing. And whatever personal thing is for you, it's a personal matter. You know, we all got our problems, you know, but it's not even recognizing it. Now, here's the good news. Quote the good news. You know what the good news is? Our Lord is gracious. You know, here, and I'll close this here. You know, think about this. The good news is in Revelation 3:19 says, as many as I love. These are people he loved. The Lord loves you. You're saved today, he loves you. You know, the Lord loves his people. If you're saved, you're a child of God, he loves you. I rebuke and I chasten. Hey, the bad things. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. God, give you a second chance, a third chance. Praise the Lord. We're God a second or third chance, even believers. Amen? I'm glad the first time we didn't screw up and drive us down there like that. Amen? I mean, I know. Believe me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And we use that verse a lot of times in soul winning, but, you know, we're pulling out of context. That's okay. I might get, hey, the Lord's knocking at your door to be saved. But the context is believers, you know. Laodicea. The context is, hey, that's a believer. Hey, believer. Hey, what are you doing there, man? Hey. After seeing all this, the Lord's still there knocking. Hey, how about it? And I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I mean, you have to make the first step and open the door. I will come in him. And that's not only from a physical building, but it's also individually, too. The buildings and the church houses are having troubles. And obviously, individuals. To him will I sup, and he with me. It's a blessing. The Lord still will take you back. That's a nice spot to be in. A lot of people I've talked to, believers, hey, they've done something. I don't even know what it is. But they feel like the Lord has put them aside. Maybe that's personally. Maybe they have. I don't know that for them individually. But there's an invitation here. Even in this condition here where they're wretched and miserable and poor and blind, God still wants a fellowship. That's us. Let me make sure we don't get stuck in that situation. Here we are. It says buy gold. Pure, that's a sign of purity, right? You know, pure gold. So he's counseling you, get pure, the pure gold, the pure word of God. You know, that's what the Lord wants. Okay, so I just want to close it up with Laodicea, because we're right here, and we see all this bad teaching over here. We get that amongst churches. I'm not talking about the cults and all that stuff. We know those are bad, but the believers. So there's still a remnant here, a little Bible-believing group. We make sure that we don't fall into these things here. And if we try to, the Lord, hey, Lord, help me back in here and get back on the track for the Lord, because the next step after Revelation right here, we're going up. And we know it could be soon, amen? Okay. Any questions, comments on finishing up on this Laodicea church age for the Bible believer? Okay. Well, Father in heaven, thank you very much for some little thoughts here on this book of Revelation, how relevant things are, how relevant it was back then. We see it today. It's an amazing thing, Father. I just pray we could apply it to our own lives, application. We don't fall in these things, Lord, and we're trying to be on track for thee. We have our duty. We're going to stand before you one day, give an account for our thoughts, what's in our body, Lord. That's an amazing thing. So that's a great motivation, that hope that Paul mentioned. Now, we have a blessed hope coming around the corner as we see the day approaching, Father. Amen. So I just pray you minister accordingly. Pray for Pastor Hoffman as he comes here. I think he's doing a third part on his sermon. Very, very good. We're looking forward to hearing it. Give him liberty and grace. And may you move amongst the saints, your Father. We'll give you the praise and the honor and glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.